Welcome, Spooky Boo listeners. I'm your host today, Stories, from Stories Babel's Ghostly Tales, and it's great to be here sharing these paranormal stories with you. And of course, a huge thank you to Spooky Boo for giving me the chance to share these four creepy stories with you. Enjoy. I know you asked for true ghost stories. Well, my grandmother's house is haunted by a little girl. We don't know much about her, just that she's not ready to move on yet. We don't even know if she passed away on the property or wandered there on her own. She is a sweet little girl, pretty quiet, and loved to play with my toys when I was little. I think I remember playing with her some, but it's kind of vague now. She is very curious, and loves to play around with things that make noise. I know now why my grandmother never put up my toys when I grew up. She left them out, so the little girl could still play with them. She has always been welcome in my Nana's home, and Nana has told me that late in the night, she could hear things being shuffled around, and especially in my mum's old bedroom, the same room I would play in when I was little. She would check in the morning and find a few of my dolls laying around. Now, I know you're wondering, okay, you have a ghost in your house, then why aren't you freaking out? The thing you need to know about my family is that every member can either see or hear spirits. I personally can hear them when I try. My mum can see and hear them, so can my Nana. I myself grew up not being afraid of ghosts. Back to my story. Now, I'm the last child born in my family. I am an only child. My mum couldn't have any more kids after me. My Nana could only have my mum and my aunt. My aunt wasn't able to have children at all. She and my mum pretty much raised me together. Okay, skip to me being 32 and having my baby girl. First baby born in my family since me. Well, there is a crap ton of excitement there. And the little ghost girl is just as excited. She gets to play with new toys and a baby. Now hold your horses, I can hear you all saying, "Oh my god, the ghost is going to hurt my baby." Guys, gals, please, nothing of the sort. Nana told me that often when I would leave, and I let her babysit Kira, my daughter, Kira would sometimes look off and start laughing for what seemed like no reason at all. Nana believed that the little ghost girl was playing with her and making her giggle. Nana also told me that sometimes she would leave Kira sleeping in her crib and go off to do something around the house. Then at some point, she would feel a tug on her clothes. She would ignore it at first, but the tug would get more insistent. She would then think of Kira and go check on her and find that she was crying for either changing or her bottle. Nana would be able to hear Kira if she was at the back of the house. That little ghost girl always looked after my daughter. Skip to Kira getting older. She is 5 now. Nana told me once that the little ghost girl played with some of Kira's baby toys, but not much. However, now that Kira is getting more sophisticated toys like dolls and dollhouses and such, the little ghost girl became more interested. That leads me to believe that she may be either the same age as Kira, or maybe a little older. Nana keeps Kira's toys mostly in the living room, so she and Papa can watch her play. They are in their 80s now. When Kira wasn't at their house, Nana said that she would still find toys out in the middle of the floor. She would then huff and say to the air, "Now, sugar, I don't mind if you play with Kira's toys, but please, don't leave them in the middle of the floor. Somebody might trip and fall." The next day, she would enter the living room, and the toys would obviously be played with but are pushed out of the way. She would then praise the little ghost girl and go ahead and put the toys back where they were. Now, my recent experience with the little ghost girl happened the Saturday before New Year's. I was staying with my mum, like I have every year since my dad passed. She had already been invited to a get-together with some friends from work. I wasn't feeling well, so I stayed at her house with my daughter. Kira was in bed and I was up late watching creepy stuff on YouTube. Mum had found these motion-activated Christmas ornaments that play jingle bells when you walk by or bump the trees. I'm sitting on the couch, completely creeping myself out, and then I hear distorted jingle bell sounds playing in the background. I'd stop the video and the song would stop. I shrugged and started the video up again. A few moments later, the distorted sounds start up again. I completely break out into goosebumps. Okay, let me explain. I love being scared. No, I'm not crazy. I'm a fear junkie. Two entirely different things. Anyway, I love scary stuff. But I do have things that completely freak me the F out. For example, creepy old dolls, clowns, mirrors, and anything creepy that distorts things related to kids. So another example would be distorted sounds from kids' toys when they're running low on batteries or going dead. I know, off subject again. But one of the batteries in the ornaments was going dead. So I thought. It's around midnight, and I'm sitting alone in the living room, watching creepy YouTube videos and hearing distorted jingle bells, which are kids' carols, playing randomly by itself behind me. Once again, I stop the video, and the song stops. Then I get this feeling of mischief, and a barely audible giggle. I know what you're thinking. Her daughter is playing a prank on her. Nope. My daughter, once she falls asleep, she sleeps the sleep of death that only a child can achieve. So no, it's not her. I start the video again and wait. And wait. And wait. Nothing. I huff and go back to my video. One moment later, I hear the song again and feel the mirth again and hear the laughter. She got me. The little ghost girl got me. I'm beyond freaked out at this point and laughing my head off, praising her on her skills. I turn off the offending ornament. Oh yeah, they also blink when they play. And go to bed. I have to admit, the little ghost girl is epic. My next set of paranormal stories is from Kyle Brandt. Now, let me remember. I've worked at haunted locations before, but these weren't my first brushes with the paranormal. My first encounter was actually before my first memory. It was when I lived in a small town in Maine called Bath. My father and mother had just moved there due to my father's military station. I was around 2 when this happened. The architecture was a 2-story, 3-bed, 2-bathroom house, 1-bedroom downstairs and 2 upstairs. We also had a basement. The only reason I know this was the paranormal was from my mum's account. Apparently, before we moved in, a little old woman owned the house. She was notorious for having a clean house. My mother had caught me a couple of times talking to no one, and if the living room wasn't cleaned up, the old woman's spirit would walk up and down the stairs all night, making loud thuds with each step. Sadly, I can't go back to that house to confirm if it was haunted, as about 10 years ago, it burned down. So all that's left was the foundation. Who knows? Maybe if someone builds another house on the foundation, the woman's spirit will return. Now, let's jump to 2002. I was in middle school and living in Orlando, Florida. Most Florida schools host one of 4 field trips a year. You have the Disney World field trip, which usually means you're going to Epcot or the Magic Kingdom. The Universal Studios field trip, which was always my favorite theme park, good old SeaWorld. Or the culturally and historical diverse St. Augustine. Now, there are tons of rumors that theme parks are haunted after dark, and that's why they shut down. But this story does take place in St. Augustine. For those of you who aren't familiar with this location, let me paint you a picture. With a 17th century fort in it, everything is Spanish-style architecture and very old. As a field trip, they take you through the fort, show you where ammunition are stored, barracks, and even cannons that have withstood the test of time. But the final stop are the prison cells. A friend and I were with our group when something caught my ear whilst down in those cells, like a man groaning in pain. So I grabbed my friend and went to investigate. My friend claimed he wasn't hearing anything, but I kept hearing it when it suddenly stopped. And it stopped as I crossed in front of a certain cell. The cell was just standard iron bars with what looked like rubble in the back. I sat there for what felt like a minute, trying to hear anything else. When I heard one of the guides yelling, and my teacher yelling too. We shouted back, and the two adults came rushing to our sides. The guide scooped us up and ran full sprint back to the courtyard. The teacher grasped us as if we were her own children and sighed heavily. Later, we learned that we had been gone for over half an hour and had wandered into an unstable section of the fort. The cell I was looking at was one where a restoration worker had died years before, when he accidentally broke a supporting stone, causing the whole section to crash down on him. I believe I was hearing said worker's final groans. But the one thing that always perplexes me is, how did we lose half an hour when we were away from the group for only a couple of minutes? My last story that could be considered pseudo-paranormal was when I was in St. Louis. My family was wanting to open a blacklight mini golf course in Biloxi or Gulfport, Mississippi. We had gone to our family reunion in Illinois and were only a couple of hours' drive from St. Louis. We were meeting with one of the biggest production companies of haunted houses, since we wanted a pirate, undead-themed golf course. So we met with the company at their offices, which also housed their haunted house every year. These guys worked year-round to create the most vivid rooms for their haunted attraction. Being early July, a good portion was done and asked if we wanted to do a walkthrough to see what they were doing for that year. Now, none of the actors or operators were there, so it was just a peaceful walkthrough of some gore, and he would tell us where people would normally be placed and how they would act. We get to an 8-foot-high chain-link fence with a motorcycle with the kickstand down and an old run-down porch. The owner told us this was going to be a zombie area. The motorcycle lights were remotely rigged to be able to turn on and off at random. And when the light came on, our actor in zombie makeup would burst out and shake the chain-link fence. Now, I forgot to mention this section is a hallway that is no more than 4 to 5 feet wide, so if you get startled, you really can't get away. My family and the guide walked off while I admired the motorcycle behind the fence. Suddenly, I got a cold chill, and the motorcycle lurched forward and then went back to resting. I jumped back, and my heart began to race. I took off like a bat out of hell back to my family and the guide. The rest of the tour was uneventful, just standard gore. Well, Spooky Boo listeners, I hope you enjoyed these stories, and thank you again, Spooky Boo, for having me on here. If you want to find out more about me, you can find me by Googling Stories Fables Podcast, or I'm sure there is a link in this episode with my YouTube channel. Thank you for listening, and have a great day or night.